Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about anxiety and stress. And, you know, those are words that a lot of people will say, I figured out how to do it. I just have a couple drinks. I figured it out. I just kind of check out. Or I take a vacation. I run to the spa. I get a massage. All these different things that people are saying, how they manage their anxiety and stress. Are they long-term? Are they just for the moment? Are they kind of pushing it backwards? And you know that thing that you keep pushing and pushing and pushing against the wall, and eventually you're just going to hit the wall. When will that happen? What we're talking about is being able to look at your anxiety and stress in a different way and saying, is this really just anxiety and stress, and I blame it on everybody else and everything else? And it's always from the outside. Someone else is always doing it to me or pushing my buttons or making my life hard. What about if the feelings are inside of you? You'll be able to see how you're living your own life, how you're reacting to the life around you, and how you might be able to have a better life for yourself, irregardless of what's around you. Isn't really that what we're trying to do these days? It's really about being able to say, how can I live fully engaged in life around me? And be able to say, I'll have ups and downs, and they won't take me out. And it really is truly all about the end result, which is my health, my wellness, my well-being, how I'm interacting with others, and how I find that I'm able to live a very engaged life. Today, my guest is Dr. Oscar Segurado, and his book is Mindful Framing, Transform Your Anxiety into Vital Energy. And Dr. Oscar is going to be sharing a lot of tips. It's a really unique book. It is small. It is fantastic. And you could say, you know what? I never thought of a way to think about something like that. Isn't that really what we're talking about? Is reframing. Dr. Oscar, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette. This is my pleasure. I am enjoying listening to you. Your intro was fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, Dr. Oscar, don't you think? How far can we push that button, or are we going to run away from it and try to medicate ourselves out of it, right?
Right. I think that everyone knows what we're talking about. Stress, anxiety are not only here, they're going to stay with us, and they're going to go up and up and up. And we all notice that. It's not just everything inside us, also outside us. It's society. It's all type of pressure that we're getting at our workplace and also inside us. So there is a lot of multitasking and overthinking, and we really need to do something about that.
You know, I think, Dr. Oscar, a lot of people say, well, I never had stress before, and now I'm getting it. I think it's the idea that I grew up in the 50s and 60s. I'm in my 60s now. And I don't remember having so many things we had to do, we had to be engaged in, we had to check on, you know, our checklists and everything. And now that we are having so many of that, it seems like it's harder to be to make it through your day each day. And also, if you look at our overall health, are we healthier now or decades ago? Some would say decades ago, because we really didn't have this onset of chronic disease so early. We didn't have 2 and 3 labels of, you know, I've got this disease, that disease, and, you know, just keep piling them on at a younger age, don't you think?
Absolutely. You're a doctor, I'm a doctor, and the statistics are there. So indeed, when we compare the type of diseases and the number of people that are consumed by those diseases, it's going up. About 70% of the people that go to the hospital is because of chronic diseases that could be prevented. And guess what? One of the reasons we have all these issues is because we are not really well. We're not taking care of our mental well-being, of our emotional well-being, and our physical well-being. So this is what we have to start focusing on and start thinking, what should I take off my list?
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you. I had one day, I shared on the radio a time ago, and I said that I was really having a day where it just didn't seem like everything was fitting in. So I sat down and I said, I'm just going to be still for a little while. And then I was still for an hour, and I was still for maybe it was like 3 hours. And then the next day, someone asked me what I did the day before, and I said, I was still. And they said, what did you do after that? I said, I was still some more. And they said, what'd you do for the rest of the day? I said, I was just being still. And they said, well, you mean your day was such a waste? I said, absolutely not. What I did was I had the best day ever because I was centered. I was focused. I didn't do things that were unnecessary. And I just plain honored myself and just was quiet. And don't you think that sometimes that's what we're really searching for? However, we say it's totally impossible in this life.
Yeah, and you just said something that really resonated with me. And this is you honored yourself. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we are respecting ourselves. We are also not respecting something that happens when we are still, as you were doing that day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we have, a subconscious mind that is working all the time. And it does a phenomenal work, which, by the way, is much better than what we do with our conscious mind. So we need to give it time. But if we are continuously doing our work and activities or distractions, mm-hmm. or we are kind of blunting our mind with either medication or abuse of any type, then we are not letting that essential part of our lives, of ourselves, working for us.
You know, and I think you can safely say that's what accelerates health conditions very early. It also causes a lot of what we call life confusion, divorces, shakeups,
right.
Losing things, mental health imbalances. And I think that we say, oh, well, I got a disease, or now I need to take antidepressants, or, yeah, my husband just decided to leave or whatever. And we say those are just facts of life. However, they are very intertwined. When someone leaves you that you were in love with, that simply does affect your physical being, your physical heart, your center, your core. Also, it does when you lose something else. You have to move away. You might feel that your energy on the earth, how you're grounded in that area, now you feel displaced. You don't feel well. And all of these are really, we talk about, you know, the body-mind-spirit connection, and you talk about body and mind and nature connection in your book. It's really about how are they all intertwined, because one does affect another. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. And what you have been describing is life. So
mm-hmm.
we have to confront life as it is. And we cannot change things, because majority of the things that happen to us or around us are out of our control. What we can do, and this is my very simple recipe, is to prevent things from happening. Prevent bad things that can happen around us. And that's a hard work. So you have to start working on yourself. You have to start working on people around you. You have to work on your mind, on your body, on your emotions. And this is something that people sometimes don't realize, that they are in the cockpit and that they can change many things in the future. What has happened has already happened. It should not also drive your thinking, because it's, again, out of your control. And being also worried about the future is also something that happens to many people and that paralyzes them. So that's why we have all heard
right.
about being in the present moment. And that's not an easy task, but I think that's the key.
You know, we talk about prevention a lot, and people say, well, I got my vaccination, I'm preventing it, and they still go along their merry way, and they wonder why they get sick, you know? Or we talk about people saying, well, I drink my green drink 7 days a week, and all of a sudden, yeah, you know, I'm da-da-da-da, and they're going on and on and on. It didn't do what it was supposed to do. Many times I will give people a supplement, a homeopathic remedy. I will ask them to eat certain foods. I will refer them to another specialist. And they are like, what is that going to do for me? I want it in one sentence and so that I can confirm and validate that it did or did not happen to me, and that will be the answer. You know, I think sometimes when we say, are we having an imbalance and all these things are going on in our life, we've got to have that kind of a fix. Otherwise, many times humans are now saying, well, it doesn't work for me. Hey, you know, and they throw everything out versus seeing how something may have altered, shifted, or transformed something in you versus saying, did it fix you, don't you think?
Yes, yes, yes. We are trying also to find simple fixtures to things that are extraordinarily complex. And by the way, there is something, another very simple trick, let's say, from the scientific method and clinical development in medicine and so on, and this is trial and error. We have clinical trials. So we try things out. Excessive expectations of something that is in a commercial or something that they heard and say, okay, we're going to try this, and then I'm going to try that, and then this practice here and that practice there. No, that's not that easy. So you have to have a life plan that takes care of these three spheres that are absolutely essential in our lives. First, our mental health, which is something that the people don't have usually even a clue about what's that. Emotional health, or the so-called emotional intelligence. And finally, our well-being and our actual physical health. So all these three spheres require focus.
Well, you know, I think also too, Dr. Oscar, I think to the idea of people saying when things are going through in life, right, they tend to want to fix it or push it off. And what you're really talking about in your book, Mindful Framing, is really about transforming it, which is going through it and using the energy that it has, the potential energy it has. That is such a different way of looking at things, because sometimes people will say, I'm going to duck it, I'm going to get away from it, I just don't want to even be around it. And putting it off and building it up is not going to help, right?
Yeah, that's right. You need to assess practically each and every aspect of your life and see what you want to keep and what you want to let go. Because one example is sometimes we're attached to toxic people around us. And it can be real people that are really close to us or people that are in the news.
Right.
And sometimes you have to let them go and ensure that you understand who is causing you anxiety and stress. When someone is bringing you joy, then obviously you let these people in your life. When there is someone very close to you, a loved one, even if they cause anxiety, you still have to be with them. You cannot say bye-bye to them. So, and that's my case with my mom and my one of my sons. No, they're fabulous people, I'm saying, but even if they were nasty, I will still have to be with them because I have to. So you have to make sure that you understand what the situation, and that applies to everything around you. One of the recipes I have, I call it less is more. And this is, again, going over all your list of activities, everything that you do, everything that you take, everything that you think, and start taking things out of that list.
Right. Well, Dr. Oscar, when you do that, can you talk about how to assess your frame of mind? I think people will say, do I really need to put a label on it? But I think you really need to notice where you're starting from and to be able to identify what's really going on, yes?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going as far as telling the people what to do if they feel they have any type of feeling or emotion. I have a kind of off-the-shelf strategy that has worked very well with me and with many people that I've been helping, and also I've been giving many talks, and I've seen people coming to me back and saying, hey, this is working for me. And what I'm recommending is, again, having thinking about our mind, thinking about our emotions, and thinking about our body in an structured way. And that's what I provide in my book. I provide this structure, how to do it. It's 15 minutes every morning. Over time, it becomes less and less, and at the end, it can be just a few minutes. But you practically change the way you start your day, the way you finish your day, and the way you go through during the entire day.
Right, and also, too, it's about a lifestyle change. It's not just
yes.
a quick fix. I mean,
right.
don't you think? You know, sometimes they say, I'm going to, I'll go have, we see people go into yoga. They come out of yoga and they're screaming at their kids on the phone, So it's really about how you look at the world. It is something that will change your whole entire life, yes?
Yeah, and you mentioned several times the mind-body connection. And I'm also adding, as you also mentioned, nature there. But all there are a number of practices that are absolutely terrific.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
I think too is when you say you're transforming anxiety, okay, sometimes people will say, people that are not well adapted to this or understanding what they're saying, they're transforming it to what? They don't really understand that. And they say, so I'm feeling something and you want to make me something else?
Yeah, when I talk about transformation, mm-hmm. in this case, I refer to the energy that you're putting into your anxiety without even noticing that.
Right.
I try to explain the way our brain works, and it has three levels. It has the human or the executive level, where we do our real thinking and decisions and plans and actions. Mm-hmm. And then there is the emotional brain, which practically takes each of those thoughts or activities or experiences and tags an emotion to it. If that emotion is a nice emotion, it's a good thing, keep it, that's good. But very, very often we have a negative emotion. And when that happens, then the brain goes on its own and starts liberating energy, and which goes into what is called the autonomous nervous system, liberating a number of neurotransmitters and hormones.
Yeah.
And this is wasted energy. This is what really produces anxiety and stress. Your body is reacting to signals that are sent by, it's called the primitive brain, is the reptilian brain. And what you have to do is to cut that flux of signals, and keep all your thoughts in your higher brain, in your executive brain. And if you do that, then all this energy that is wasted, because there's a part of your brain that is practically telling your body to do things that are absolutely worthless because they were useful 50,000 years ago when you were in front of a tiger and you have to be use adrenaline and cortisol because you wanted to be prepared to the flight or fight response. Then you are transforming that wasted energy in energy that you can use to something else. So that's everything I mean by transformation. Is not letting your brain practically drive your bodily reactions and ensure that you are in control.
Right, because when your brain has control and causes a cascade in the chemicals within your body, you really end up with the first assault is the immune system, is that which it's in your body to say, we're going to all work together here in harmony. You know, I think of the immune system as, you know, pushing up daisies, everybody's good, we're all going to be in alignment. And all of a sudden, along comes a tiger and it says, oh no. Or along comes a king and says, hey, I'm going to do it and everybody's going to do it my way. And you end up getting a lot of other reactions in your body where things go down the wrong highway. Sugars start to build up. Things don't come out of your liver quite as well. Sometimes things will get retained and you'll have some body fluids that might be retained or whatever. You might not be able to fight off an infection, you know, as well. And I think almost if you could think of your body as these groups of universes that have a purpose. Your eyes are to see. Your ears have a group of defenders to hear, you know. Your immune system says we're here to be able to see things, to be able to take care of them and let them move on through. If you think of it that way, people will say, you know what, maybe I really probably shouldn't be yelling and screaming at the guy in front of me when he pulls in front of me in my car, right?
right. But we do that because we don't know what else we can do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And don't you think, so how would you say to people, you know, they're coming in and they're saying, I'm not feeling well, I have to go to my doctor on the way back from my other visit with my counselor because things aren't working there either. And I think the idea that we keep things so separate in our world when really they are influencing each other, yes?
Yes, I think that you touched a very important point. And this is related to the way our world is organized and how we rely on doctors and the medical system to help us out. But, you know, if you would go back to the traditional medicines, and even the way India and China in many ways are looking at their medical systems, they think about prevention. So you will still need to go to a doctor if you have a broken leg, no matter what.
Right.
But if you have anxiety, maybe you should start thinking, instead of going to your doctor and asking for an anti-anxiety medication, maybe you can do other things. And that's the way I see the situation right now. That unfortunately people don't realize that there are many ways to help themselves. And sometimes it can be done by reading books, by attending seminars, by just going to some practitioners that are really able to help them do that. And also avoid too much distraction and abuse.
Right. Well, you also have trained in Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine. And we know that, you know, with mind with naturopathic, is that everything has a place and order in the universe. Everything intertwines. So really, when you think about Chinese and Ayurvedic, it's you don't want excess, but you don't want a deficiency. You want to be able to try to keep things in a flow when they end up either way versus being able to say, I'm stuck in this one and let's just work on that end. You know, if you have too much of a buildup in your liver, well, you wouldn't be saying, how do I get rid of it? You would say, how can I increase the flow in your liver? Do you know what I mean? And so in other
Absolutely.
Words, how can we work to be able to bring things through? And that's definitely what your book, Mindful Framing, is about, is if you see that, it's not about stopping your, quote, get rid of it. It's about how can you increase a flow to move through it? Because you know what? It's how you're living every day. Those things will still come up, right?
Right. Right. And this is about feeling empowered too. thinking that you don't depend just from a medical doctor because they have their degree and they know, because they may know a lot about liver, but they don't know you. And unfortunately, the medical system now is so strained that doctors don't have even time to listen to you. It has been recently shown that, in average, the doctor waits about 20 seconds before telling a patient something. I know what's going on with you or something. That's amazing. I mean, the doctors have so much to do that they want to go to the next patient as soon as they can. So there is you have to feel empowered. And you have to know a couple of things and to have a minimal structure of knowing how your brain works, how your body works, and even something like the immune system that we were talking about. So in one of my chapters of my books, one chapter is totally dedicated to the immune system. And I tell you, this is a very complex thing to talk about, but they do that without using any single medical term. So it's a detective story. So the people understand how it works and how it is related again to our brain and to many decisions that we make during the day. So what I'm trying to say is that everyone has to have a crash course in basic medicine. And I think that's the way it works also in many societies in the Eastern world. And they know more than we do.
Yeah. You know, I saw this on TV one time. It was a station, I don't know what it was. It was on something spiritual or whatever. But anyway, they showed the people in China. And they were actually standing out at this big body of water. Some were running, some were jogging. And there were some elders there. And they were really just, they had their two hands on their abdomen. And they were just jostling it around. What they were actually doing was activating their body and being able to bring things, you know, giving your body movement and being able to. And we think about it these days and we say, my gosh, I have pain. Don't touch it. It hurts. I have to find out what's wrong with it. When really, they know that if something is sore or stagnant, it's time to move it. And how do you move it? You put your hand on it and you move it. You know what I mean? And I think
Absolutely.
That's really an idea of being able to understand what prevention means in different forms and in different matter. You know, it's not, it's to understand that how your body works. And I think your book is so unique in how you wrote it. Mindful Framing, again, is the book. And each chapter is so unique that others, and many people can understand this. They're like, oh, I get that. And then they're able to say, now I understand maybe what my doctor is trying to tell me, or maybe now I understand what I'm going through, or maybe now I see how I can start to help myself, which is really the goal, yes?
Yes, and I think that one of the problems that we have in this world with so much information and bombardment of all types of news and new things that are coming up practically every minute is that we need a structure. We need a mental structure. And I've divided that into three spheres, which are very simple, which is, again, knowing how to enjoy nature. And you just mentioned how Eastern traditions know what to do when they go to a forest, for instance. There's something called forest bathing in Japan, or people that know how to really interact with nature. And another one is to understand the emotions. We're continuously surrounded by other people, but we don't understand how important it is to know ourselves and also to have empathy with others. And finally, our body. So I provide also a structure for putting all that together so that when we go through our day, we're seeing what we have to do or to practically activate. So if we're with someone, we have to ensure that we know a little bit and we do an effort to have a better emotional intelligence. And the same when we are about to eat or when we go to bed or when we wake up. So, which, by the way, I think that are very critical times in our day. So,
right.
And I even have a kind of ceremony or routine for going to bed and waking up, which are essential. So, kind of these things that are going to structure our life and the way we do things instead of the way people do that. They wake up and say, oh, my God, a new day. and they practically do a couple of things and then put the TV on and then the radio in the car, and practically they depend on everyone else, but they don't do anything under their own control. That's what has to change. And I think that's what, at the end of the day, reduces your anxiety levels, because you are in control.
You know, we think about it, our body is on a cycle. Our body has, it knows when it's time to get up, it knows when it's time to go to sleep, it knows when it's hungry, it knows when it needs to breathe or when the heart has to beat. And we say, oh, that's no big deal. But yet we go through life commanding that we, the human, know everything and we're going to be the boss of the situation. You know what I mean? And
yes.
We pretty much, we say, this is what it's going to be. And then we squawk and scream and flail our arms complaining when things break down. You know, I think that's been the human way for so many decades. But now with Google and the internet, we're really finding that people are saying, what does my heart do? What does my mind do? What is my immune system about? So if you start there by asking the questions, and your book answers several of those, it's when you ask those questions, you're able to get a basis that you're able to work from versus always being in a reactive position. You're almost in an action position where you can see the bigger picture versus just seeing the problem that has to be eliminated, right?
I think that you summed that perfectly. It's about being proactive versus reactive. And the reality is that the majority of us are reactive the majority of the time. And that's what drives our misery. because everything that happens to us is kind of unexpected. And on the other hand, we have expectations, which usually go beyond reality. And then we have disappointments. So instead of taking life and understanding that life is full of problems and worries. And I always tell everyone, I have lots of problems and worries. They haven't diminished in the past few years since I started with my program of mindful framing. But what I don't have, or almost is on a minimal level, is anxiety. So I am in control of everything that happens to me in my brain. I cannot control what happens around me or what comes to me every day. But I distinguish between where I can do something about that, and when I can't, I analyze that carefully. And that's what I think that people have to learn to do. And that's a process that doesn't happen in one day. And, you know, when we go to school, when we're little kids, we learn math. We learn how to read. We learn how to write. We learn how to now code. But we don't know how to think. And how to manage our mental processes. No one tells us anything about that. And by the way, that's not the case in many Eastern cultures, because they have kind of a code of conduct, they have ethical values, and I think that's what is also missing in many kids in our society, especially now that there is less and less religion, and practically kids are depending on what they get practically randomly on the internet. This is very, very, very serious and sad situation.
You know what I noticed, too, is a lot of the European cultures or Asian cultures is that there is some sense of, as you said, values and morals of way things that are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But people adhere to them throughout their decades of life. What's happened in America is that post-World War II and the Depression, people came back and started rebelling. How dare you? How this? How that? And I need to make sure I never end up in that situation again. You know what I mean? I've got to have money. I need to have a house. I need to have jobs. My kids will never be hungry again kind of idea. Whereas in other countries, they understood it as a process of life. They understood it as it was not good. However, they picked up the pieces and they honored each other. And here, I think sometimes in the U.S., we're not honoring each other. It's more like, what can you get for yourself and how big can it be, right?
Yeah. This centric self be above all type of community or culture, you're right. This is happening here. It's also happening, unfortunately, in Europe. I'm European, and I go there all the time. and my family is in Europe, and I'm here. But I'm having almost 20 years in the States, so I understand the situation, and I'm worried. I'm really worried because I think that we're coming to a level of technological development that practically doesn't leave time for anything else. It's just trying to keep up with everything that's happening around you practically doesn't leave you time to do anything else. So you wake up in the morning and say, okay, what happened in the latest California fire and in the latest shooting and what is the tweet and, from our friend or whatever. So there is so much going on that the people, and this is time, by the way, that you waste. On listening to the news, which are almost kind of a distraction. And let me tell you, I've been now 2 years, without following the news. And I was a news junkie. I was reading everything I could and watching the news and getting news info from everywhere. Now I don't have the time because I have to spend time with myself. And I think that that's also something that families should do with their kids. So one of my focuses, and I've put together, I've created a non-profit institute that now has even a European subsidiary now. And my focus is on education because I don't think I can have so much impact in adults, but I'm trying to have an impact in young people. And I'm working now, for instance, with a private school network here in the U.S. and I'm trying to start also doing something like that in Europe. So because I think that we need to replace the missing piece of, it was religion or whatever you want to call it, but that's missing. That's a missing piece in our
society. It's the core idea of what a human is. Do you know what I mean? I don't think we've ever been taught what a human is because mostly when kids are born, they don't learn to expand their minds or their thoughts. They immediately are pushed into school where they're taught about repetition to be able to get a grade, or they also do what their parents say, and so they're learning mimicking. So there is no expansion of thought or exploration. You know, and I think that's probably where a lot of anxiety comes because when you do need to expand your thoughts or figure it out for yourself or take care of yourself, you really don't have a basis of that. So when you share, you know, in your book, Mindful Framing, about self-care, I can honestly tell you, if you have a room of 100 people and they say self-care, you might get one person that would have an answer that might have been something that you were kind of looking for or maybe assumed people would know, don't you think?
Yeah. And even if that person is thinking about self-care, that's because they're following the latest fad.
Right.
So they heard about a quick fix for whatever is happening to them. But no one really takes a holistic idea on saying, okay, I have to really understand how my mind, my heart, and my body work. And I really need to take care of all three and aspects that I'm always talking about. And I think that's a pity. So I think that when people reach a certain age, they are not going to change their habits and the way they do things. So that's why I am really focusing on young people. And I hope, because I'm really very committed to what I'm doing. And I think that, as you said, you mentioned the U.S. society, but I think it's happening now everywhere at different stages. But what I'm seeing here is more acute than in other places. So I'm happy to help. And if anyone wants to start, and what I recommend even at the end of my talks is if you have a kid around you, it's a niece or your son or you are able to teach kids or something, tell them about all this. We need to help others.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Oscar, can you share with the listeners to find out more information about you? And you also have some tips and things on your website, too. Can you share about those?
Yes. There are two ways to reach my website. One is through the www.mindfulbook.org. And the other one is through the institute that I mentioned a moment ago. It's called neochi.org. And both provide tips And also they are not at the level on the structure of the book, which is available in Amazon as an ebook or as a paperback and also even as an audiobook.
Right.
So, again, the name is Mindful Framing under my name, Oscar Segurado. So there are many, many ways to find it. But at the end of the day, I think that what I provide is tips on how to understand how your mind works and how to help others. Also doing that also with your heart, with your emotions, and your body.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you know it's really about providing service to humanity is why we're here in the first
yes.
place, self and humanity. And if that's true, and you're really anxious and you're really stressed out, all you're doing is spewing stuff that really doesn't need to be out there because it further harms others, but it also harms yourself. So if you say, if I'm supposed to be here of service and humanity, well, I don't think I need to be doing that. I need to reverse it, and I need to figure out how to transform that. You know, I see, in closing, I'll tell you this, Dr. Oscar. It's like I see a lot of these spiritual people out there, right? And they're like, I'm only going to walk in the white light. I'm only going to be good. I'm going to this. And if something negative comes up around me, I don't want it. I'm going to run away from it. And I'm going, oh, well, okay. So I guess you don't want to be of service. You don't want to help transform that. You just want to keep it to yourself, you know. And people are going, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I says, well, how do you expect things to transform if you aren't engaged with it?
Yeah, right? Change yourself first, and then you're going to change the world. That's what Mahatma Gandhi said, and I always follow that quote. I love it.
But don't run away from it either, because, in other words, if you've really gotten a handle on your anxiety process and you see someone else that's really stressed out, you know, try to be engaged with them. Try to be present with them. Try to speak to them. Try to share a tip. You know, anything. You're not trying to change them. You're just trying to share your awareness. And I think that's what we're really talking about is after self-help, what do? The next step is share your self-awareness, yes?
Absolutely. You got it. That's my new life expectation, and I hope others do that. And this becomes a kind of a new epidemic instead of anxiety
right.
epidemic, wellness epidemic.
Yeah, it's really great. So, Dr. Oscar, it's really great to have you, you know, sharing this information. I think in your book is really great, Mindful Framing, because it's something everyone can read. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette. Pleasure.
Oh, you're so welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Oscar Segurado, again, his book is Mindful Framing, Transform Your Anxiety into Vital Energy. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to either of his websites, and you'll be able to find more tips and information. And please do reach out, because it truly is about you being able to take care of yourself and then be able to share that going forward. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.